We continue our study of the book of Galatians. We are through the original or the initial historic view that the Apostle Paul was helping the Galatians to see that what he was telling them actually came from a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you've thought about this or not, but how did the Apostle Peter and James and John see that Jesus Christ appeared to them after the resurrection? Did they have dreams? And that's what they just simply said. Well, I just had a dream about what Jesus was saying. No, he actually appeared to them in the flesh before he rose up into heaven. How did the Apostle Paul talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? As if he had had that exact same experience. As if he had learned this revelation from the risen Savior. The Savior who appeared to him, not just simply in a vision, although certainly when he was in the road to Damascus, that vision took the place of a bright light, which was, as one commentator had told me, or had said at one time, brighter than the noonday Palestinian sun. And it was so bright that even that sun in the desert could not even hold a candle to, if you will. Well, anyway, the Apostle Paul is saying, this is the gospel that came to me. It is the gospel that is very important, because the gospel that came to the apostles, those 3 years of ministry, was the gospel of just simply establishing that Jesus was the Christ. And even as he was dying on the cross, they were not getting it. They were not realizing that the gospel has so much more in it, other than just simply God has fulfilled the promises to send the Messiah, to fulfill the promise that he made to David, to Moses, to the prophets, even to Adam and Eve themselves, the promise that had gone out. And so the mystery that is revealed to the Lord Jesus, or excuse me, by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul is this great mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles. How do they become one person or one people of God? When we were going through Ephesians, that was one of the great themes, do you recall? That it was in the book of Ephesians that the mystery is, how do these two come together? And the fact that the Jews were first and then the Gentiles. We saw from the beginning of Ephesians all the way through that this was a whole concept that the church of Jesus Christ is the people of God, the one entity. All right. In our book of Galatians, verse 15, the Apostle Paul starts his theological section in which, of course, he's talking about justification by faith and by faith alone. The endeavor that he has is, or that we have, is to help us to understand whether he is talking about just simply initial entry into the Church of Jesus Christ, belief in Jesus Christ, what we refer to as one-time justification, the declaration that Jesus Christ imputes to us his righteousness, and our sin is imputed to him, all right, that double exchange. Or is it something that the Apostle Paul is talking about? And while he is not making the distinction that theologians will do later on, talking about sanctification, how you live once you are in Christ, and justification, how you become righteous on a one-time basis, one of the things that we see is that the Apostle Paul goes back and forth using the same term to talk about those two different things. Sometimes he is talking about that one-time declaration, that one-time act that enabled me to become a believer. Sometimes, on the other hand, he is going to be talking about the continual work that you have And I don't think it is to continue to be justified. I cannot imagine that a Jew would be thinking that if I am going to be righteous before God, if I'm going to be able to come and be enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I still need to, or if I'm a Jew, I need to continue to prove that I'm a Jew, seeking to be justified over and over and over again, if entrance is into entrance into the kingdom of God is what it is talking about. All right, and we looked at that in verse 16, where it said, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And then that phrase that we said, that we looked at, it says, so that we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. And so the concept of being a believer so that we would continue to be justified seems to be a possibility that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And for certain, that's going to be one of the things that we see in our text today. Now, last week, we looked at the concept in verse 19, through the law I died to the law that I might live to God, being crucified with Christ. And there is a period that we could put there. Or since I am, if we were to put the participle at the beginning, since I am crucified with Christ, I, through the law, have died to the law so that I might live to God. In other words, that crucified with Christ is something that can be talked about in terms of modifying verse 19, even though many of our, in fact, almost all of our modern translations puts that phrase in verse 20. Because it fits so nicely with, I have been crucified with Christ, and you could almost put a therefore, I am it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because the crucifixion of Christ fits both ways. Now, one of the things that we looked at is that the crucified with Christ is that one-time action that has taken place. And therefore, because of that action, all right, I have died to the law, and I am living for Christ. In other words, the crucifixion has both a one-time reference to death of the death to the law and life in Christ, but it also has a reference to my continuing to live on a daily basis with Jesus Christ in me. In fact, as the text says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we saw last week that the concept of living there by the faith, by faith in Jesus Christ is probably the better way of looking at that. Because as I live, Christ is living in me, but it is still my faith that has to be exercised on a daily basis to be able to live my life. All right, it's that now and not yet. All right, Jesus is in me, but yet he has not fully, totally made me perfect. How do I know that I'm not made perfect yet? Well, if you lack a mirror at your house, please let me know. We've got some in the bathroom. Just go in there and look, and you will see that we still continue to have life in the flesh, is the best I could say it. Not life under the influence of the flesh, but life in this life, in which case we are exhorted by the Scriptures to be holy, but yet we continue to see ourselves failing, and we continue to see the ravages of sin that happen in our lives as we continue to see this life is over at certain points. And so one of the things that we're seeing is that we see from verse 20 that the life that I now live, because Jesus Christ has been crucified, he lives in me, and it is no longer I who live. Well, does that mean that Jesus Christ is the one? Well, you just yelled at your wife. All right. Well, it was Christ. It wasn't I. It was Christ who lives in me. All right. Therefore, it was certainly justified that my wife be yelled at. Let me be real clear. No, that is not the way that this text is talking to us about. It's saying, as I have the ability to do what is right, it is not from anything in me. It is because Jesus Christ has opened my eyes that I could hear, opened my ears that I could hear, opened my eyes that I could see, and I'll be able to live a life that is honoring to the Lord God. All right. As we looked at that, we see a reference once again at the end of verse 20 to the life lived in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Of course, that's another reference to exactly what we see at the end of verse 19, beginning of verse 20. The crucifixion of Christ and the ability for me to be crucified with him. And that's a very important Christian concept that the Apostle Paul is introducing to the Galatian believers. All right. Verse 21, and I'd like to read verse 21 through chapter 3 and verse 3. Just a reminder, you all know this, that there is nothing magic, even if your particular translation has a big white gap in it, if it has a bold type in there that indicates a brand new paragraph. When the Apostle Paul wrote these things, he wrote them one sentence following another. In fact, as you look at the Greek manuscript, one letter following another without any spaces even between words. And so what we're able to see then is that these thoughts continue on. Verse 21, it says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Or the text says, was publicly crucified before your eyes. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? Or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? All right. The thing that the Apostle Paul continues in this discussion is that he is contrasting the law of God with righteousness through faith. He is contrasting righteousness which comes through the law, and we saw when we looked at that, it comes through the law, meaning the law holds these requirements, and if those are the requirements, then that's what you have to do. End of discussion. All right, do this and you shall live. Do not do these and you shall die. Very simple. That is the requirement of the law. And we saw that what is really taking place is that the law not only individually is being dying, it is going away, it is vanishing as an authority, all right, not the morality of God, but the law, capital L, that which stands over the people of Israel. The law, in that sense, is dead. Now, the Apostle Paul, back up in verse 19, says, I died to the law. In verse 18, he says, by what I am doing, by doing what the Galatians were doing, and that is considering their life with going back and putting themselves under the law, doing the things that the Jewish Pharisee says, this is what you've got to do. By doing that, they are rebuilding what I will refer to as the old covenant, that covenant that Moses brought in. It was a good covenant. The law is holy and righteous and good, but the law was given to expose sin. over and over again in the New Testament, and perhaps we'll talk about this one day, we see that sin has power because of the law. Sin has power because of the law. Now, I want you to think about it very, very generically. If the law is dead, what is sin? And where does sin get its power now, if the law is dead? Now, well, the law, all right, is what gets. Now, sin is still there, all right. Sin is still seeing in its last vestiges, okay. But the law, as it is dead, I am free now. I don't think that we really grasp that. We are so busy saying, I'm just so still, you know, these besetting sins are just so horrible in my life. But with the law gone, we are free to be righteous in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that the Apostle Paul is trying to hammer home to these Galatians. He says, you have no idea, because the concept is, oh dear, you take the law away, and guess what I know you're going to do? You're going to say, hoo-hoo, there is no speed limit. I am gunning my car, and I can drive as fast as I want to drive. Well, brothers and sisters, guess what? You know, when I was in the military, just to follow that illustration, when I was in the military, I lived in a country where you could go as fast as you want. And guess what happened? Everyone didn't go as fast as they wanted. They drove a nice, sane speed. Every once in a while, you'd see some guy who thought he was, Superman and going down the highway. But he couldn't go as fast as he wanted. But the thing is that as that law went away, all right, there was the ability, but yet 90% of the people just continued to go a safe, sane, reasonable speed. And that's one of the things that they didn't have to have the law to tell them to do that. And that's one of the things that we have. You don't have to have the law to tell you, husbands, not to commit adultery. You do not have to have the law to tell you not to commit adultery if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why is that? Because that is the thing, that if I am focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the furthest thing from my mind is to want to be displeasing to Him. All right? Do you remember Joseph? And, you know, Joseph is an example of the believer. You know, Joseph was grabbed by Potiphar's wife. You remember that story? Grabbed by Potiphar's wife. You know? And he was not looking. I mean, he was even single, wasn't attached, you know, wouldn't be committing adultery, if you will. But when she wanted to have sex with him, what was his response? Do you remember what that was? What was his response? How can I do this thing and sin against God? It wasn't a hoo-hoo, here's my opportunity, my master is gone, he'll never know. No. He is sinning against God. And see, here was an example of where the Spirit of God is operating in the life of a believer. All right. Well, as we go through, you know, what Pam was saying was that the whole concept of when the law comes, it produced, well, Romans says what? When the law do not covet came, what happened to me? I wasn't even thinking about coveting until the law came, and then all of a sudden it produced in me coveting of every kind. And so that's one of the things. And this is one of the things that is new about the new covenant. Because now the law, in a sense, the commands of God are coming into my heart. They're written on my mind. All right? These are the things, in fact, they are implemented by the Spirit. All right, very quickly, you know, if I then, let's take the problem that the Galatians were having, is that these people were coming in and they were saying, in order for you to be a real Christian, you need to not just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you really need to become a Jew, be circumcised so that you can become a Jew, fulfill and obey the law, all the laws written by Moses, so that you can do these things, and then you will be a full Christian. As it is, you just simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have some initial salvation, but oh, there is so much more. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, if now you're going to go back and say, okay, I do need to be circumcised, I do need to obey the law of Moses, as this particular party was saying that was following the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, verse 21, says, no, what I'm saying, I am not going to nullify the grace of God. Well, the implication is what? Jesus Christ is living in me. If I now go back and say, oh, I must go and do what the law says to do, now, at this point, I am going to nullify the grace of God. For righteousness, and again, I think that we're continuing to see that it is not just righteousness, but this concept that I continue to have to do righteousness. You see what I'm talking about? Because that's really what the law of Moses was. The law of Moses says, yeah, not only have you got to be circumcised in the beginning, but you have to continue to demonstrate this righteousness by not doing this, not doing this, doing this, doing that, giving this percentage of your alms, tithing of your even of your spices in your spice rack. As long as you're doing all these things, then you are going to be righteous before God. And that's what righteousness is. No, the Apostle Paul says, I am not going to nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through that, through the law, then Jesus Christ died for no purpose. Let me see if I can say that again. If Jesus Christ died for a purpose, then righteousness does not come through the law. Because if that's the situation, if, well, that's that happened before Jesus Christ died, we continue to have to do all of these things, all of these simply do this, don't do that things. And these are the things that need to come in and occupy your mind, we're saying these people. But now the Apostle Paul says, what part of believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be in you, working his life through you, through the Spirit of God? And that's going to be the argument then he picks up with as we go into chapter 3. He says, now, if you have this concept that righteousness comes through the law, you are foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, because it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. He was publicly crucified. Now, that does not mean that they came in and physically did that crucifixion. What is that saying? That Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Okay. Pam says, God saw to it that everyone would know about that. How did they know? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in chapter 1 and earlier in chapter 2. What was he having to defend? The gospel that I teach, The gospel that I proclaimed to you. The gospel through which you believed. And this is what I think is being referred to. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I presented publicly, and I'm sure privately, as he was talking to the Galatians in their various teaching situations, the public proclamation of the gospel. What was the essential part of the gospel, according to what he says, took place in verse 1 of chapter 3? He was portrayed as crucified. He was given the definition, if you will, of being crucified. Why was that important? Well, it doesn't take a lot to look just up at the previous verses to see how many references to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ we see. All right. Do we see one? Did we see one in just the previous verse? If righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. All right. End of verse 19 and the beginning of verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ in each of those situations. All right. Jesus Christ is the one whose life, whose life was given, end of verse 20, who gave himself for me as another reference to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in each of these situations, what we're looking at is we're saying, the Apostle Paul is telling these Galatians, that this death of Jesus Christ on the cross is absolutely an essential part of the gospel. And you know it. He was publicly portrayed to you as having been crucified. All right. Again, the problem. Okay. The problem is these believers were told that they had to be circumcised and obey the law. The Apostle Paul is saying absolutely not. Righteousness does not come through the law. Literally. If through the law comes righteousness, then Jesus Christ's death is for naught. That's just absolutely amazing. All right. In other words, why did Jesus have to die? Because if Jesus Christ did not die, who would be righteous? Well, the Apostle Paul is real clear to the Romans, isn't he? Not one person could be righteous if Jesus Christ had not died. But I'm a pretty good guy. I'm just as good as the next guy. No, not one person can be righteous apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Yes. Uh-huh. Well, those who have. Yes. What Ben is talking about is that there are many of us, and I would include myself in that group, who have been in Christian groups in which this very thing is the instance. All right. Again, I've told the story many of times, and I'm sure I'll tell it more, of the days that I remember leaving church and looking in my rearview mirror to make sure there was no one following me so that I could take my wife to dinner on Sunday. That's called legalism, brothers and sisters. Well, and see, that the whole issue is that that is one of the things that is in our very nature. All right. Part of this, and again, Pam's question is that what is it about us that wants to be, just tell me what to do. Just tell me these things I have to do. And what's the Apostle Paul is saying? You only have to do one thing, and that's love God with all your heart. That's all you have to do. I'll even give you a second if you really need it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, no, that's not enough. And that what the rich young ruler said? The rich young ruler was coming in and saying, oh, no, give me more things to do. I've done all these already. Give me more things that I can do. And the Apostle Paul says, no, this is what is essential to you. Now, I have to always go back and remind myself, does that mean there are no rules and regulations for life? There are no things that you have to do. No, there's all kinds of things. All right. However, the whole point is, get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off of your obedience, thinking that that's what's going to give you privilege to God. But aren't I going to be judged by that? I don't want to be sitting there in the judgment seat of God and simply say, you haven't done this and you haven't done that and you haven't done this. You know, brothers and sisters, trust me, just this very morning, I was thinking about all of the things that I had miserably failed Day Spring as an elder, is that I hadn't done this and these things I hadn't done and I hadn't thought about this. And all of a sudden I had to say, stop. Just stop. Because that's not what God. Oh, you want me to do all the things I have done? Okay. No, it's not that either. It's the whole concept. You know, it's the whole concept that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sins. And that's what God expects me to do, to live my life accordingly. Repent of my sins when I commit them? Oh, you bet. All right. But don't look at my repentance and say, okay, I'm a pretty good guy. I've repented of my sins now. I must, you know, I'm so proud to be humble. That's I'm going to leave that there. We need to look back at our text because our text comes and talks about this whole concept back in the situation with the Galatian believers. And the Galatian believers, the Apostle Paul says, okay, you foolish Galatians, you have been bewitched. You have been literally hornswoggled, to use a good West Texas term. All right. You have been looked at. All right. And you have been deceived. But let me ask you this question. Parentheses. And this is going to be obvious to both of us. But let me ask you this question. When your life in Christ began, was it begun with the Spirit or was it begun with works of law? Excuse me, is it done when you received the Spirit, was it done by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith or hearing with faith or hearing from faith? And what does he expect the Galatian believers to say? Oh, no, it wasn't until later that this law thing came in and we just wanted to learn more and more. And we learned that law was more and more from these guys who came to see us after you had given us, showed us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul says, how did you receive the Spirit? Well, the answer is, it is obvious. You received the Spirit by hearing, and here it's a challenging translation. ESV says hearing with faith. There are translations that say hearing by faith. There are translations that hearing in faith. Okay. You know, all of these different things. All right. Because one of the things that we have a problem with doing, all right, because the whole issue is what? What is the issue that the Apostle Paul is talking about here? Is this faith thing, is this something you did, or you're Christian? Is this something you did because you're righteous, or is it something that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's what the Apostle Paul has been teaching and preaching. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, wait a minute. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There he is right there. I see him teaching. All right. In fact, I can do good works in his name. No, this is the concept of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that says I am fully, absolutely committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my salvation. Because the answer is obvious. I said, no. This concept of the works of the law did not even come in until later on. And now, that's, you know, we want more. And so the works of the law are the thing that is more and greater. And that's what the Galatian believers and the Apostle Paul has to come and says, no. These things are bewitching you. They are giving you a false sense of what you need to be doing for Jesus Christ. But anyway, the question is, you know, did you begin in the Spirit by the hearing, I like to hear translated as the hearing of faith. By the way, which comes first, hearing or the faith? Does faith come and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then all of a sudden I'm able to hear? No. I am able to hear because I believe. I'm able to believe because I hear. Well, they're all in there together. All right. What about the ones who can't hear? They can't believe. All right. And so this hearing is what the Apostle Paul is identifying, because in the whole, all these cities and church, cities of Galatia, they know that a lot of people, you know, their ears heard, but they didn't hear. All right. They were listening to the Apostle Paul, but they were rejecting. In fact, there are a lot who stoned the Apostle Paul in these cities of Iconia, Lystra, Derbe, and so on. All right. He barely made it out alive. In fact, they thought he was dead and went out just to simply get his body. It turns out he wasn't dead because God had something else for him to do. And so what we have here is that we have the hearing of faith that enables you to receive the Spirit. Actually, it's all taking place about at one time, right? You know, I hear, I believe, I receive the Spirit. It's only those mathematician guys that, like myself, that I'm okay, I need a logical order. Which comes first logically? Because it all happens at once. Well, the last thing that happens is my dead sinner nature believes, and then God says, okay, here's a believer down here. Go and give him some Spirit. Go and give him some new birth. Go and give him some, adoption and faith. No, it's not because I believed. I'm able to believe. That's the thing that the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, you heard with faith. A whole bunch of other people there in those cities, in your synagogues and every place that you were, a whole bunch of other people, they heard, but they didn't hear. And therefore, that's where the Spirit was resident. But the point he's making here is not the logical order. That's not what this is all about. Was that it was absolutely not by doing good works and then all of a sudden the Spirit came because we had done enough good works of the law. That was absolutely not. And it was obvious. The Galatians would say, yeah, all right, all this law stuff didn't come till later on. And then he says in verse 3, he says, is this why you're so foolish that since you began by the Spirit, you're now trying to be perfected by the flesh? The flesh is talking about what? Is the works of the law. Okay, the flesh is not talking about you're now trying to be perfected by evil and wickedness. That's not the flesh that he's talking about. It is by your human efforts that these things are taking place. All right? And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking to the Belizean. The issue is that they have begun by the Spirit. Now, one of the things that I continue to be struggling with is this whole concept of justification. Is this talking about the one thing? To me, verse 3 of chapter 3 is the thing that speaks loud and clear that what he is talking about is the life of sanctification of believers. He alluded to it back up in verse 20 of the previous chapter, right? Jesus Christ is living in me the life that I now live. Here he's talking about that I have begun by the Spirit. There is no question. I've begun by the Spirit. That is what's taking place. Now the question is, do I continue my life by going to the earthly things? I began in the Spirit, but now I have to go down to the do this, don't do that, make sure you do these, you know, turn around, whatever the law is, that is the work of the law that is expected of you, that you're trying to do to demonstrate or prove your righteousness. These are the things that I believe that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Because what he's talking about is that there is no argument that these Galatians are believers. I don't think. Is he talking about someone who is a Galatian believer who is trying to become a believer again? Well, there are some commentaries that I read that seems to be what the issue is. All right, and they're focusing on circumcision, because what is circumcision? Circumcision is the demonstration of entrance into the people of God. All right, so that when they are recircumcised, then they are re-entering the people of, or they are entering the people of God. And the thing that I believe that the Apostle Paul is talking about is he is saying to these Galatian believers is that it has reference to both. Because when you say that my life in the Spirit is not enough, I need to be circumcised and live according to the law, you're basically saying I need to go back and, to use a Christian kind, be rebaptized and relive my new life. Because now I'm doing it based on works of the law. And that's the thing that I see that has that element, but it has the element of all of these works of the law that are, I can't remind us enough, back up in verse 19, what is my relationship to the law? Verse 19, brothers and sisters, what does your text say of the previous chapter? Through the law, I died to the law. Now, how did I go through the law? Because I was in Christ. And Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled and he accomplished every legal requirement of the law. And as a result, I died to the law because I'm in Christ. And he did that in the crucifixion. That's what the argument is of the Apostle Paul. And now I am, well, the Apostle Paul uses the word foolish for saying, yes, I began in the Spirit, but I need to be perfected. Now, let me make sure that we're talking about this. We see, you remember we just have talked about letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. We've just gotten through that study. Turn over very quickly to Philippians in the very first chapter in verse 6, because this word is found used there. Philippians 1, 6. All right. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. You want to guess what concept we're talking about here? Bring it to completion. What's the Apostle Paul telling the Philippians there? This is a lifelong thing that is going to happen, and there is going to be an end. And what is Jesus Christ going to do? He is going to place its, literally the word mean, its goal and its purpose on top of you. That's what it is talking about. He is going to bring it to completion. In 2 Corinthians, let me just read this because we're about out of time. It says, let us purify ourselves. All right. Since we have the promises, let us purify ourselves and everything that contains the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness. What is your and my responsibility? To instantly be holy or to continue to perfect holiness, to bring it to completion. That's our word there. Look back at Galatians 3:3. All right. Are you now being perfected, brought to its purpose with the flesh? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, you guys are not understanding that the whole argument is that what Jesus Christ did was he paid the penalty for my sins, and I am righteous. I don't have to continue to try and be righteous. What do I have to do? Perfect holiness in Jesus Christ. But not so that I can be acceptable in that end day, but so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. That's what my job is. All right. Now, what the Apostle Paul's argument then is that the Mosaic law, again, and this is an epoch. Was this the requirement in the Old Covenant? Absolutely. Be circumcised. What happened when Moses would not circumcise his kids? Almost got them killed, all right? Almost got them killed until he finally begrudgingly circumcised them and had everyone circumcised, all right? And from that, it was a continuation of that old covenant promise that was, you know, the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. But now that is brought to an end. The law, that period of time, has died. At this point, living in Jesus Christ in me, and I living out my life in him, that's what it's all about. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatian believers. Now, we're getting ready to go through three more chapters of this argument over and over and over again. I don't think it's going to be redundant, but the Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we understand this argument. That it is not because of my righteous acts that I am acceptable to God. I am acceptable to God because of one righteous act, the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself. And I am acceptable because I was able to hear with faith. I was able to receive the Spirit of God. And that is how my life is to be lived. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your mercy to us is great. And we thank you that we cannot deny your grace. Help us now, dear Lord, we pray, to honor and glorify you. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus. Help us, dear Lord God, in all things to be glorifying to you as we trust and rely in your mercy. and your finished work. Help us in the coming hour to worship you, to realize all that you have done for us, and to be so pleased that you are working in us. Help us this week, dear Lord God, to live our lives as Jesus Christ is in us, so that the life we live to the glory of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.